Looking back at your career, obviously 400 plus games, four flags, is it a bit surreal to you to look back and go, wow, what a career?
Yeah, it is, because I think when you're a kid, you have a dream of playing sport and playing at the highest level, like, you know, the people you see on TV, some who are the idols, and that's who I wanted to be. I wanted to play footy like Gavin Wanganeen and Michael Long, and you finally get there, you live out your dream, and, you know, I was in the AFL system for 21 years, and it goes so quick, like the click of a finger.
Hey folks, there's a wonderful event happening next year over the June long weekend. From June 7th to 9th, the Bali AFL Masters is taking place, and the SA team will have men's sides in the over 35s, over 45s and over 55s. If you want to join in the fun, check out the Southern Slugs Football Club Facebook page. Well, what an absolute pleasure it is to have Sean Burgoyne for the very first time on Sports Legends with Bevo. Oh, can you hear me, Sean?
Yep, I can. Yep, sorry. I thought you were doing like a warm-up.
Great to have you on the show.
Thanks for having me. We're off and go off and go running now.
You're just in retirement mode, mate. You're that relaxed.
Well, I'm on holidays at the moment. I'm Mr. Daycare at the moment.
Oh, right. So you've got a few kids you're looking after?
Well, they're at school at the moment, so I do, you know, pick up, drop offs, and help with the lunches in the morning. So while my wife works, so.
Oh, right.
A bit of house cleaning today, actually.
Oh, so you've done the swap around. So your wife's normally obviously doing, it's the other way around during the footy season, but you're sort of doing the duties now.
At the moment, yes, I'm trying to, hold up my end of the bargain and do some stuff around the house.
Well, how do you go balancing, you know, family and also, you know, your busy life in terms of post-footy as well with Channel 7 and everything you're doing with Port Adelaide Bergs?
It's been a different transition for myself. Decided to transition and be over busy and not have any spare time, to be honest, with four kids, you know, working at Port Adelaide, working with Channel 7, some Triple M stuff, and I've started my own commercial cleaning business. I thought I would overwork, have a nervous breakdown because I'm stressed, and then peel it back a little bit instead of transitioning into work and then having too much downtime.
And what's your role with Port Adelaide?
So I've got a couple of different roles at Port Adelaide. So I'm in the wellbeing space, so player wellbeing, development, you know, part-time development coach. So I'm the Indigenous liaison officer there as well, and then a little bit of community ambassador stuff. So there's a few things involved in there, but, you know, it keeps me involved in footy and out in the track a little bit, and then also behind a computer at times as well.
And it must be pretty special as well, still being able to stay involved with the game that you love and that you played for so many years.
Yeah, well, it's been a good transition to transition out of the game as a player, but then stay involved in the game in terms of, you know, club land, you know, doing something I've been doing for, you know, I've done an AFL list for 21 years playing AFL footy. So it's been a long time of my life, straight out of year 12 into footy. So got to transition, stay in the game, you know the trends of the game, you know, it's easy to talk because I've been in so long and I still love the game as well.
And you mentioned before you've got commercial cleaning business now. Give that a plug and tell us how people can get involved in booking you.
I've started an Indigenous cleaning company. So, you know, it's ACS Indigenous. So I thought of how can I transition out of the game and continually help, you know, Aboriginal people. I've been helping, you know, Aboriginal players my whole career, whether they be coming in the game, help them transition the game, you know, help them in the game, give them some, you know, some feedback and some tips here and there when I get text messages or phone calls to you know, help them out, or, you know, just give advice on transitioning out of the game as well. So I didn't want that to stop. So now I've moved into the community aspect where I think the best form of help I can help is with employment opportunities. So started a commercial cleaning business, ACS Indigenous, based in Melbourne, but we've got work in SA, New South Wales, Northern Territory and Victoria. So we've spread pretty quickly over the last couple of years. Yeah, I've really found it really fulfilling, to be honest, to help people with employment opportunities, to provide income to live better lives, to be honest. And hopefully I can grow a bit bigger and help more people.
And speaking of cleaning, you've also got a partnership with Omo. Tell us more about that, Sean.
Yeah, I do. So obviously the Omo Ultimate Footy Club Championship, so competition. So finding, you know, volunteers and club legends out there. And myself growing up in suburban footy with Mallee Park Footy Club, seen plenty of aunties and uncles, part, you know, give their time, dedicate, volunteer their time to make sure the footy club, you know, is sustainable and can continue to operate. So finding out those club legends are out there with Omo has been, you know, a really enjoyable one, to be honest. So there's been thousands of people to enter the competition. And, yeah, they've been out there, you know, shining the light on people who, you know, keep footy clubs and cricket clubs and all those volunteers who keep footy clubs afloat.
And who are some of the real interesting ones you met along the way? And why do you think it's so important to have these local footy legends, Sean?
I've lived and breathed it, to be honest, coming from Mallee Park and the country in Port Lincoln and playing. And, you know, volunteers are the lifeblood of clubs, you know, amateur clubs, whether it be football clubs, soccer clubs, you know, cricket clubs. You know, volunteers are the lifeblood. They keep the clubs afloat. So, but met plenty of people along the way who have helped, and myself going through that as well, because you don't realise it as a kid, but Guernsey's miraculously after a game, they go away and then they come the next week clean. You know, someone, there's always mud on the ground, you know, after a game, especially in winter, but then you leave the game, you come back for training and the next day and it's clean. So it's a great way for Omo to shine the light on those people out there who volunteer their time because, you know, they love their clubs.
Now, well said. I was involved in, well, definitely not at your level, but played footy for 20 plus years and you just couldn't do it without those volunteers, and the amount of hours that they put in are just remarkable, aren't they?
Yeah, they are, you know, and Omo's wanting to shine the light and give those people the recognition they deserve. So when I was asked to be a part of it and help celebrate those people all across the country, I was jumped on board, and we've got some Omo products as well, to be honest. So when I said this morning, I was doing some housework, I was doing the washing, to be honest. So I've got four kids. I've got two boys, two girls. We go through a fair bit of clothes here, and Omo was good enough to supply me with some products. So I try to do as much washing as I can and free up my, you know, and take some load off my wife and help out as well. So it's a great product. I really enjoy it as well. So couldn't be happier at the moment.
And looking back at your career, obviously 400 plus games, four flags. Is it a bit surreal to you to look back and go, wow, what a career?
Yeah, it is, because I think when you're a kid, you have a dream of playing sport and playing at the highest level, like, you know, the people you see on TV, who are your idols, and that's who I wanted to be. I wanted to play footy like Gavin Wanganeen and Michael Long, and you finally get there and you live out your dream. And, you know, I was in the AFL system for 21 years, and it goes so quick, like the click of a finger, 21 years, and all the things you go through, the highs and lows, all the injuries, it's all worthwhile, to be honest, because you're living out your childhood dream. And then to play in grand finals, because you play football because you want to be involved in a team atmosphere and you want to be a part of a team, and then to experience success with a team is unbelievable. And you get to celebrate with a lot of people, make lifelong friends. And I was so lucky and so fortunate that I got to play for a long time.
And looking back at, you'll go back to 2004, obviously part of Port Adelaide's first ever premiership, and I'm a Power supporter, so I always remember that day, Shawnee. But to win it with your brother, though, how special. And tell us about who led the aftermatch celebrations at the club.
Yeah, that was unbelievable, to be honest. You probably remember, but, you know, 2001, 2 and 3, we bombed out of the finals, and then 2004, we were coming up against Brisbane Lions, who arguably one of the greatest teams in the history of the competition. They were going for four wins in a row. They had Michael Voss, who's run a Brownlow legend, Jason Akamanis, Brownlow legend, Simon Black, Brownlow legend, Jonathan Brown, one of the best big tall forwards in the history of the game. So we're coming up against a pretty formidable team that were a team full of warriors, to be honest. So to win Port Adelaide's, be a part of Port Adelaide's first ever premiership and beat Brisbane Lions was something that, you know, I'll never forget. Obviously playing with my brother Peter. You know, Byron Pickett was also won the Norm Smith Medal. He lived with us for a bit when we first moved to Adelaide from my hometown, Port Lincoln. Gavin Wanganeen, one of my childhood idols, also an older cousin, to play in that game with him. So there's so many special memories. And like I said before, to be part of Port Adelaide's first is something that's, you know, I feel truly blessed.
Who are the guys that, you know, the real characters that were there probably more, that, you know, partying more than most, or is that something you can't save? Have to keep them behind closed doors.
It was fair to say, I think everyone had a crack after we won that first one. There was so much pressure on the entire team. Like I said, previous one, two and three bombing out. We got on the drink for a few days, to be honest. So, but it was just, to be honest, a lot of pressure that had just been relieved because, you know, to win that flag, we had an ageing list, an ageing team, and it was probably our last chance, to be honest, and we were able to succeed. But, yeah, we're actually coming out for our we're going for a 20-year reunion next year, 2024.
Wow.
So it'll be almost 20 years next year, which is amazing to think. That time flies.
And you won the three flags at the Hawks as well. It must be pretty special.
Again, well, I spoke about the heartbreak at Port Adelaide, 1, 2 and 3. We had some heartbreak at Hawthorn too. You know, in 2010, we bombed out first week of the finals. 2011, we bombed out in a prelim. We lost the 2012 grand final against Sydney Swans when we go into that game favourite, but then we win the next three where we go in an underdogs against Fremantle, Sydney and West Coast, you know, and able to get a three-peat. So incredibly lucky, incredibly blessed. I played with a lot of great players as well. So you name the players in Port Adelaide who are Hall of Fame members, you know, there's a number of them, Gavin Wanganeen, Treaders and a few others, and you can just go through the Hawthorn lineup. There'd be plenty of Hall of Fame members in there, you know, Sam Mitchell, Luke Hodge, Surioli, Lance Franklin, Joe Roughhead. No doubt they'll all go into the Hall of Fame. So, again, and then to be coached by Clarko as well, you know, one of the greatest coaches to ever coach. Like I said, I feel incredibly lucky and blessed I was in the right place at the right time.
And looking back at your career as well, obviously, there's a lot of talk about whether or not you should have stayed at Port Adelaide. And, you know, was there ever a feeling that you wanted to stay at Port and be a one club player, or you just feel in the end that you made the right decision?
I definitely made the right decision winning, you know, three flags.
Yep.
But no, it was one of those things where me and my wife, you know, she's an Adelaide girl. Her father is a Port Adelaide Magpies legend. You know, we're firmly entrenched in Adelaide. But we thought it was going to be a great adventure and an opportunity to move to Melbourne for 3 years, to be honest, play footy, enjoy, you know, everything that Melbourne and Hawthorn have to offer, and then move back. And those 3 years turned out to be 12 and three flags and, you know, made multiple friendships and, you know, plenty of memories. So, no, I definitely made the right decision.
And post-career, did you consider staying in Melbourne, or you mentioned before the family, you're always going to come back to Adelaide?
Yeah, well, We'd always planned to be staying in Melbourne, to be honest. Our kids were in school and sports and all those things. And it's just funny how life turns out, you know, with the COVID, you know, pandemic that happened. And I retired, you know, during COVID. You know, Melbourne was in the midst of one of the biggest lockdowns in the world. And we just thought, well, why not move back to be closer to family and start life in after footy in Adelaide. And my kids were happy for the move. But, yeah, who knows what happens in the future.
And you touched on it earlier that you're a Mallee Park boy growing up. Tell us more about your footy journey, Sean. You're going towards the Magpies and then obviously going on to play for the Power and the Hawks. And who was some of your influences growing up?
Yeah, well, I grew up and playing for Mallee Park, the footy club in Port Lincoln, an all Indigenous team. You know, the players to be drafted at Mallee Park is, you know, myself, my brother Peter, Byron Pickett, Graham Johncock, Daniel Wells, Eddie Betts, Lindsay Thomas, just to name a few, to go on to play AFL. So I enjoyed footy there. I just wanted to, as a kid, to be honest, wanted to play A grade for Mallee Park with my cousins and be like my uncles, to be honest. That's where my dreams lied. And then as you get a bit older, you start watching TV. And then I was like, well, I want to play AFL. And then we're in the Port Adelaide Magpie zone. So I got the invitation to come out and do pre-season in the under 17s and shift the cross at 15, moved out of home in with my brother in the city. I started my footy career in the Port Magpies in the under 17s and then progressed. And as for influences on my footy, I'd probably say all of my coaches, to be honest. Mum and Dad have always taught me to respect my elders and respect my coaches, and whatever they tell you to do, you do it and don't back answer. So for all my coaches, from under 10s Mallee Park to 12s, 14s, 17s at Mallee Park to 17s, 19s, reserves and league at Port Magpies, they all had probably instrumental in mentoring me and shaping me the player that I became once I was drafted into the AFL.
And we know the record of obviously Choco and Clarko as well, and they're the real personalities of the game. But tell us something we don't know about both coaches.
Both coaches, they're both pretty mad when it comes to footy, pretty full on. you see that. I guess when you spend a lot of time with the senior coach, they kind of become your mentors and, you know, help shape you the person you are, because you spend so long with them for so many years, they become very passionate about you as well. And they over time, they actually become friends. So very, very lucky to have Choco when I started at Port Adelaide. He was very tough on me. His brother, Stephen, was actually my league coach at Port Magpies when I was playing there. So, and Choco played footy with my wife's father, Greg Phillips, you know. So he used to babysit my wife when she was a baby. So there's a family connection there. And I just got on really well with Clarko. To be honest, one of the reasons I got a trade to Hawthorn was because Clarko was our assistant coach at Port Adelaide for a few years and would do things like on my day off, would make me meet him at the Women's and Children's Hospital and would visit the kids in the sick ward and give out posters and stickers because he wanted me to have an appreciation of how lucky I was to play AFL. And he wanted me to be, you know, just thank my lucky stars that I'm playing AFL and there's a lot more people worse off than me out there in the world. So those things stuck with me and helped ground me as a person and as a player. So when I went to ask for a trade, Hawthorn was the first team because I've had those bonding experiences with Clarko at Port Adelaide.
Yeah, of course, there's quite a bit of similarity, isn't there, between Port and the Hawks in terms of coaches that have come and gone from both clubs over the years?
Yeah, there's been a few. Well Clarko was there for Port Adelaide a few years. You know, Damien Hardwick went across as an assistant coach. Obviously, now he's a senior coach in his own right. There's also Andrew Russell, who was the head fitness coach at Port Adelaide, who went to Hawthorn and was, you know, instrumental in getting players, you know, fit enough to play the game and helped me enormously become the player I am today and shape how I think about the game and my professionalism. And so Andrew Russell. There's also a few players as well, you know, Brent Guerra was one, a premiership player, and there's a number of others as well. So there's a nice link there between them.
And Channel 7, obviously you're involved in the commentary side of things with Channel 7 and Triple M. What's it like being in the box with some of the real characters like your Brian Taylors and your JBs and the like?
No, it's a great eye-opener, to be honest. Very nervous, very nerve-wracking because it's a different expectation, a different preparation for the game. But learning off those guys is a great experience. You know, everyone, when you roll into either Triple M or Channel 7, everyone in there, even the people on TV, but the people behind the scenes, everyone's driven with the same goal, to have a good production, to have a good night, to get off, you know, what they need to do. It's a real supportive environment and, you know, everyone's eager to help each other. So I've been really lucky to step into both the Triple M and Channel 7 team and have a number of people willing to help me. And it's very exciting because you get a great seat, you know, in the house, you know, you just enjoy every single game.
And where do you see modern footy? Because obviously it's changed a lot over the years and some people say the rule changes have come, you know, for the better, others say for the worse. But, yeah, where do you see modern footy compared to when you were playing?
It's different now, isn't it? Obviously, the rules keep changing. I would like to see the rules stop, you know, stop changing every year on year, just to get a bit of consistency, to make it a bit easier on the umpires as well, because they're under enormous stress with the interpretations of rule changes to get it right every week. You know, the game's becoming quicker, faster. Players are coming in the game more prepared at 18 now. You know, it's a real fast, you know, game, and the players today hit in as much as they possibly can. I do like the fact the AFL have taken a real strong line on protecting the head and concussions, having doctors take control of that. So I do like the thought now that the AFL are putting highlighting an emphasis on protecting the players, you know, health. So I do like that. Who knows where the game's going to go, to be honest. I'm not quite sure, to be honest. Yourself, what are your thoughts on the game?
Yeah, it's a really good question. Obviously, concussion's such an interesting one, isn't it? And I remember interviewing Rod Jamieson obviously someone you would have played against back in the day from the Adelaide Crows, and he was saying that in the future he could see actual players signing a wager before they play, whether they sign before the season or whether they, you know, when they say new players to the club, like new draftees or something like that, have to sign a wager saying that they're going to take this risk by playing the game. And it might be, you know, quite a smart thing to do, Sean, because obviously we're seeing all these players now, these ex-players that are coming out and lodging claims about concussion and what have you. And yeah, it's a really interesting situation. And I agree with you. I like the fact that they're trying to do more about the head knocks and everything. But it's the thing that frustrates me, and hopefully it doesn't change, is that, you know, accidents happen in footy. And you, where do you stop? Where do you draw the line? You know what I mean? And the sling tackles, like, I think there's a lot of confusion with that as well. And I feel sorry in a way for the umpires because of these rule changes. And also with sling tackles, how do you know when it's a sling tackle or not? So what's your take on that?
Yeah, I know. It's interesting. I guess when you play a contact sport, there's always going to be accidents. You can be hit from anyone. You can, in 360 degrees from all different angles. You know, the ball's an oval-shaped ball, so it can bounce differently. You have to twist and turn. So there's always going to be accidents where players are going to, you know, unfortunate hits, you know. And then which you can't prevent. The tackling ones are an interesting one as well, because from a lot of the tackles you see, players, majority of the time, aren't trying to hurt the opposition. They're trying to tackle them. And because you're coming in at such a ferocious speed and you're tackling and you've got a strong mindset to tackle and not allow the ball out, it's very hard to turn off mid-tackle and not go to the ground. So that's a tough one for umpires to umpire as well. But I think the more research the club medicos do and the doctors do, the better we're going to be, because we're continually finding out more. And I think if we let the doctors do their job and really show us the way, the game will be better for it. But it is definitely, like you said, a hard one for the umpires to umpire the tackling.
Yeah, it's a real tricky one as well, because like you touched on, you don't want to lose the traditional game of footy, because it's such a great game that everyone loves to watch, and you don't want to become like a non-contact sport like netball. But at the same time, you've got to look after people's safety. It's a trick on it. I'm glad they're doing more at grassroots level as well, in like local footy, like I used to play in the hills and what have you now, because I think that's really important too.
Yeah, it is. Well, I think, you know, grassroots level, it needs to be, you know, taken very seriously as well. I know my kids' footy, I've got two boys and two girls. My youngest is 7. She hasn't started playing. So she's 8, just turned 8. Got to get that right. She will play next year. But my daughter Lenny and my two sons, Kai and Percy, both play. And whenever there's a hit to the head or a really forceful contact, the medicos run out there straight away and assess, and they bring them off for an examination as well. So that's really good to see. The grassroots are taking it serious.
And I want to ask you about Port Adelaide, because there's been a lot of talk. I know you can't say too much because you work within the club, but there's been a lot of talk, especially on social media, post the finals campaign. And I mean, personally, I disagree with what a lot of people say about it anyway, because I think Ken Hinkley's done a wonderful job and been pretty unlucky, lost to your Hawks by less than a kick back in 2014, and obviously the Richmond game a couple of years ago. So there's been two times where they could have quite easily made the grand final. But where do you see Port Adelaide, and do you feel as though they're still right amongst that premiership window, Sean?
Yeah, they've got an interesting, they've got that final hump to get over. They've made the finals, you know, obviously this year as well, and they fell short. That burns. I've been in those players. I've sat in their seat. I've lost finals as well, late in seasons where we haven't even made the finals. And it definitely burns, and it's used as a driving force for your next season. So everyone's pretty disappointed that, you know, the season ended the way it is. They did, but you've got to accept for what it is. It weren't good enough. You have to review the season, where you went right, where you went wrong, and try to improve. And I think the additions of, you know, Radigalia, Zerk Thatcher, Soldo and Sweet will be great additions to the team, especially the defenders. You know, Port have been a bit small of recent years, but I reckon they'll be great additions. And then you just look at the spread of players across the field. You know, Connor Rosie, back-to-back All-Australians, a good year. You know, Zach Butters won a number of awards, All-Australian. Dan Houston, All-Australian halfback. Jason Horne-Francis comes in and has his first year at Port Adelaide. You know, Willie Rioli has his first year at Port Adelaide, has a career-best year kicking goals. So they've got a number of good players across the field playing well. I think the window's always open. It just depends how you come back from the off season that you didn't let yourself go too much. You have a good preseason. That's all you can do is just rock up to day one preseason, knowing you're prepared to start preseason, and you just do day by day, week by week, and then you get yourself ready for round one. That's all you can do. That's all every team does each year is just rock up the preseason and put the miles in and get ready for round one.
Yeah, well said. I think the players being banged up as well didn't help the situation going into the finals campaign after those 13 wins in a row, did it?
So, yeah, you're always gonna. It's pretty funny that always every club will be the same at the back end of the year, rolling into finals. There's a number of players carrying injuries, and it's just a fine line. But when clubs and medicos pick players, if they are carrying injuries, can they still step out in the field and perform their role at a high standard, or do you take the option of not playing them? So there's a bit of a juggling act there as well. Most clubs get it right, most weeks. But it's one of those ones where every team goes through those same situations. But you just got to get the job done when it comes to finals.
Yeah, exactly. Certainly something you know how to do, that's for sure. Hey, before I let you go, just a couple more questions, Shawnee. Your toughest opponent that you ever played against and why?
Toughest opponent. Oh, there's a few. Jason Akermanis was always a really tough player to play on when I was playing in the back line. He was very good left and right foot, super quick, super smart, super agile. So when I played on him when I was at Port Adelaide playing in defence, was always quite tough. Cameron Ling was always tough to get a kick on when I was playing on ball. Would always challenge you as well. A lot of respect for him. And then obviously at Hawthorn, I think there was always a number of tough opponents. I just enjoyed the rivalries, to be honest, more. Playing against Geelong, Sydney, Collingwood, they were huge games, at the G, playing in finals against those teams as well. So I love the rivalries.
And the best player at Port Adelaide and Hawks that you played with, and why?
Oh, best player. Well, I can't go past my childhood idol, Gavin Wanganeen, at Port Adelaide. I used to grow up watching Gavin at Essendon before he joined Port Adelaide, take hangers in the back pocket. So. Obviously, Gavin, and then at Hawthorn, oh, it probably obviously have to be Lance Franklin, modern day giant, freak of nature of, to do what he could do at 6 foot 6, the speed he could run at, to have his endurance, to kick the ball 60, 70 meters, to kick over 1,000 goals, unbelievable effort. In an era where forwards don't traditionally kick big bags anymore, and he's been able to do it over, a large chunk of time.
And some of your funniest teammates at both clubs, and why?
Funniest teammates? Oh, at Hawthorn, definitely Michael Osborne was the club prankster. Super funny, super quick-witted. Always had a one-liner here. So I enjoy catching up with him now as well because he's still pretty funny. Michael Osborne's probably the funniest guy I've played with, to be honest.
And at Port Adelaide?
Oh, well, probably I used to hang out with Byron Pickett a lot. Well, I used to room with Shay Cockerty. Very funny. I used to room with Shay Cockerty Collins in my first couple of years at Port Adelaide, and we used to room on interstate trips. And Shay was very heavily invested in a WWE wrestling. He used to force me to watch it when we were in our hotel rooms before games or whatever, and used to swear black and blue that it was real wrestling. He was very funny as well.
Oh, I love that. What a great way to finish. Sean Burgoyne, again, congratulations on your career, everything you've done in footy. And I'll make sure next year when I'm down there at Port Adelaide doing my emceeing duties, I'll come down and say good day to you. And thanks again for taking the time to chat today on Sports Legends with Bevo.
I loved it, mate. Thanks for having me. Good chat.